big night for Greg Abbott. I mean, if there's a one winner tonight, it's him.
Texans cast their ballots in the primary elections on Tuesday, awarding the state's delegates in the Republican presidential primary to former President Donald Trump. They selected Democratic Congressman Colin Allred to face Senator Ted Cruz in November and sent a strong message to members of the Texas House. I'm Chris Blake, and on this episode of Texas Wants to Know, we recap the results from Super Tuesday. At the top of each party's ticket, Trump and President Joe Biden won their primaries with 78 and 85% of the vote, respectively. And in the race for the Democratic U.S. Senate nomination, Allred avoided a runoff in a nine-candidate field. Things were a little closer in the primaries for three open congressional seats, Republican races in Districts 12 and 26, and the Democratic primary in District 32. District 12 is represented by retiring Republican Kay Granger of Fort Worth. She held the seat for nearly 30 years. It's headed to a runoff between State Representative Craig Goldman and business owner John O'Shea. Republican Michael Burgess of Denton is also retiring and represents District 26. Trump-backed newcomer Brandon Gill won 59% of the vote. And Texas's 32nd congressional district is open because Allred is running for Senate. State Representative Julie Johnson of Farmers Branch may narrowly avoid a runoff. With 99% of the vote in, she had 50.1% of it. To discuss Tuesday's results, I spoke to Republican strategist Vinnie Minchillo of Glasshouse Strategy. We talked about the aforementioned races and why he says Governor Greg Abbott was a big winner on Tuesday night. Vinny, before I ask you anything specific, I'm just going to go very broad here and kind of give you the floor. What was your biggest takeaway from Super Tuesday in Texas?
I thought the two biggest takeaways for me were, you know, Dave Phelan winding up in a runoff. I mean, that's amazing. Normally, you know, he wins with huge numbers. I mean, the Phelan name, you know, there's a street in Beaumont with his name on it, you know. So, you know, he usually wins enormous. So he had a fight in this race. But to pull him into a runoff, I think, is huge. And that's going to really set the dominoes going. I think that will change how the Texas House runs fundamentally. And I don't think he survives the runoff, which I think he will. I don't think he gets the gavel back.
And that was kind of the leading edge or the most notable of the Paxton-backed challengers of current incumbents. We were tracking several of those here in North Texas, specifically in Collin County. Two right. of the five of those are headed to a runoff. But zooming out statewide a little bit, what was the overall effect of the Paxton and Abbott endorsements on some of these challengers?
Well, to me, I look at those two separate. In a lot of races, particularly up here in Collin County, it was Abbott on the side of the incumbent and Paxton on the side of the challengers. And so really big night for Greg Abbott. I mean, if there's a one winner tonight, it's him, because in pretty much every race he endorsed, those candidates did well. And he worked really hard for those candidates. He campaigned, he did ads, he spent money out of his campaign dollars. So he did really well. I think Paxton, you know, Paxton is a winner, but kind of by default in a lot of ways. He had some really poor candidates. I joked that they were the New York Jets of Texas politics. And so he had some real clunkers in there. But he was still able to send the message he wanted to send. But for Abbott, he's the big winner.
And one more question at the state level before we go a little bit bigger picture at the federal level. Obviously, this illustrates some intra-party battles inside the Republican Party. Do you think those will be mended between now and November, or do you think this will kind of linger?
You know, mended is a funny word. You know, I don't know that they're really mended. And obviously, right, at the state level, you know, the primary is everything. Very few of these races we've talked about are going to have any kind of a competitive general election. So these elections are officially, you know, effectively over at the end of the runoff. So it's less mended, but more that the message has been sent from the leadership that, hey, you guys better get in line, or else we're going to put a big primary on you. People will get in line. I don't know if mended is the right word.
And then moving to the top of the ticket, we found out this morning that Nikki Haley is suspending her presidential campaign. Are you at all surprised that, not that she's dropping out, but that she failed to garner even 100 delegates nationally?
Really, her campaign was over when she got trounced in her home state. So that was it. And, you know, but the old saw is that presidential campaigns don't run out of time, they run out of money. And she had plenty of money to get herself to Super Tuesday. I wasn't really surprised, to be honest. I think she got hot late. And really the Trump train, if you will, is really just has too much momentum to stop.
We were also tracking three open congressional seats in the North Texas area, which that many open seats don't come around all that often.
Right.
Let's start with one where Michael Burgess was retiring, because that's the one you said surprised you the most.
It really did. There were a lot of people in that race. It was either 9 candidates or 10 candidates. I can't remember. And that's almost always automatically a runoff. Very rarely can you get 50%, you know, plus one vote to do it. And in that one, I don't know what the final number was, but I think Gill was 56%, 57%, which is a stunning victory. Yeah, 10 candidate race. But credit the, you know, the Trump endorsement. The Trump endorsement is incredibly powerful. And that shows you just how powerful, especially in a very red district like Texas 26.
Another one that features a candidate who is retiring is in Congressional District 12, which is in Fort Worth. Kay Granger is retiring after nearly three decades holding that seat. That's another one going to a runoff. How do you see that one shaking out between Craig Goldman and John O'Shea?
Full disclosure, we're on the Craig Goldman team, but I think that's, you know, again, a multi-candidate race. There were, I think, 5 candidates in that race. So those typically go to runoffs, not a giant surprise, but that's going to be the race to watch.
And another multi-candidate race that is borderline on the runoff still, I think they're still counting votes, is in Congressional District 32 in the Democratic side, where I looked this morning, Julie Johnson right now is holding on at 50.1%. Wow. She was considered the front runner here, correct? And do you think she'll be able to hold on to that thin margin by the end of the week?
Hard to say if she'll be able to hold on without a runoff, but she was certainly the favorite. She's got a well-established base in her House district seat that she's able to transfer those votes into the congressional race. And well-funded, well-experienced campaign, running against somebody who's a good candidate, Dr. Brian Williams, but really a first-timer. So that's certainly her race to lose. If it goes to a runoff, I think she'll have no trouble getting that done.
And the final race statewide that we were, of course, paying attention to was in the Democratic primary for U.S. Senate to challenge Republican Ted Cruz. Colin Allred kind of ran away with this one in the end, didn't he?
Yeah, I was a little surprised, you know, leading up to this, you know, and I'm not like, oh, the mainstream media or anything like that. But it's like people were trying to drive a story that, oh, this could be a runoff. And Gutierrez is a lot closer to Allred than people think. And I just don't see how that could even be possible. If you really get into the numbers in Bexar County, where Roland Gutierrez is from, Colin Allred did very well there. And if you go down to, like, for example, Hidalgo County down on the border, where you would expect Gutierrez to do well, he split the vote between Allred himself and one other candidate. So he just, you know, look, you've got to have money to be competitive. And in a statewide race, you've got to have, in a state as big as Texas, you got to have a lot of money to be competitive. And he just never got there. However, I think it's ultimately a win for Gutierrez. He certainly has increased his stature. He's now a name that people know, and he's got an issue that he feels strongly about. Even though he lost, I think it's kind of a win.
Moving forward then, before November, is Cruz Allred going to be the race that we're seeing and hearing the most about before the general election in Texas?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And let me throw a couple numbers out at you. So far in the primary in Texas, we've seen $56 million worth of advertising. That's not including what goes in the mailbox, all the mailers and stuff that we've seen. That's just TV, radio, digital. Add another 40 to that before the Senate race is over. I mean, it's going to be, we will hear lots about it. Both campaigns, Cruz and Allred, will have all the resources they need to do whatever they want to. It's going to be a really big race.
Anything else you're keeping an eye on as we move into runoffs in the next couple of months or before the fall?
Certainly the Stephanie Click race, looking at that runoff, that's a tough one. And I think how this all shakes out as far as what the next session in Texas looks like. You know, I think it's going to be a very big deal. School vouchers will be back in one form or another. And then we'll see some other issues and who winds up with the gavel.
Thanks, Vinny.
Hey, my pleasure.
I'm Chris Blake at News Radio 1080 KRLD in Dallas-Fort Worth. Thanks for joining me for Texas Wants to Know. If you like the show, please give us a rating and a review wherever you listen to podcasts. I wrote, edited, and produced this episode with editorial support from Cooper Mall and original music by Michael Eisenstein. Odyssey's managing producer for National News Podcasts is Myron Kaplan.